Welcome to today's edition of the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm your host, Lori Boyer. In addition to feature reports, I'll bring you a look at regional and national agricultural news. And the show starts right after this.
AgroPlante is the leading manufacturer in specialty products. AgroPlante formulates products that rise to the challenge of today's growing conditions. Saline and sodic soils reduce crop yield and cause significant crop losses. AgroPlante developed Cation EX5 Plus with growers in mind to manage soil salinity. With multiple years of research, Cation EX5 Plus has proven to be an excellent source of calcium and an effective soil salinity manager. Run it through drip irrigation without any issues. Simplify your application method with innovative and efficient formulations. Alleviate salinity stress with Cation EX5 Plus. AgroPlante, imagination, innovation, science in action.
Get ready for the 2023 Crop Consultant Conference in Visalia, California on September 27th and 28th, hosted by Progressive Crop Consultant Magazine and Western Region Certified Crop Advisors. This two-day event will feature a combined 44 hours of live and online continuing education units for attendees in the heart of California, a trade show, first-class dining, entertainment, and a mixer. Come join CCAs, PCAs, growers, and industry professionals at the Visalia Convention Center to hear from researchers and colleagues on the latest in agriculture. Registration is now open at progressivecrop.com/conference.
According to the latest National Agricultural Statistics Service's Pacific Region Milk Production Report, milk production during August totaled 3.33 billion pounds, down 3.7% from August of 2022 and up 0.2% from July of 2023. The number of milk cows on farms in California was 1,714,000 head, down 9,000 from August of 2022 and down 1,000 from July of 2023. Production per cow in California averaged 1,945 pounds, down 65 pounds from August of 2022 and up 5 pounds from July of 2023. The annual Climate Week NYC is underway. Each year, climate leaders from all over the world gather to spur progress and champion change that is already occurring. Governor Gavin Newsom and other state officials are in New York City, calling attention to California initiatives like a faster-than-scheduled installation of electric vehicle charging stations. California Department of Food and Agriculture's Division of Measurement Standards is part of a team of state agencies working to accelerate the introduction of zero-emission vehicles and necessary infrastructure while avoiding redundancies in a regulatory structure. DMS tests and approves all commercial charging stations to ensure accuracy and fairness in the marketplace. Cuyama Valley small farmers and residents are calling for a boycott against Bolthouse and Grimway Farms. It all has to do with California's effort to manage groundwater. When California lawmakers enacted the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act in 2014, it was an effort to tame the wild, wild west of water. Nearly a decade later, there's been some progress creating local sustainability plans, but big ag corporations are still hogging water and bullying smaller groundwater users. The Cuyama Valley sits about 120 miles northwest of Los Angeles, just below the Carrizo Plain National Monument. The Cuyama Basin is entirely groundwater dependent, relying on rainwater to recharge its supply because there are no water delivery canals. And yet this valley boasts an estimated 16,000 acres of irrigated crops, pistachio trees, grapevines, and carrots among them. The problem is more water is being pumped from the ground than is being replenished. Cuyama Valley is one of California's 21 overpumped or critically overdrafted basins. Therefore, these basins are the regions where overhauling water management is most urgent, so they are where the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act is being put to the test first. A fresh technology is the San Francisco-based Fresh Food Technology Company has launched an inventory management solution that it says transforms ordering and inventory management across grocers' fresh departments with intelligent and connected solutions purpose-built for the complexities of fresh food. A fresh inventory management minimizes the time and cost of taking ending inventory for customers and delivering accurate financials while pairing with a fresh store ordering to save teams time and drive higher profits, according to a news release. While ending inventory inventory is a business critical step to ensure correct financials around shrink and store performance. It's a costly and labor intensive process that involves taking account of every item outside store hours, traditionally using a scanner and paper inventory guide. Afresh says its platform saves teams time and increases accuracy using intelligent apps that allow multiple users to take inventory simultaneously and alert users in real time of suspected errors. Corporate teams also gain access to a web portal to review automatically generated store-specific inventory guides and validate ending inventory results. Afresh customers have seen an average time savings of 31% on their next order after taking inventory, according to the release. Founded in 2017 with a mission to eliminate food waste and make fresh food accessible to all, Afresh serves national and regional grocery brands across the U.S. It has partnered with grocers in more than 3,000 stores and 40 states. In the face of a worsening climate crisis, Governor Gavin Newsom highlighted the distribution of nearly $300 million to make California's water supply more resilient and promote climate-smart agriculture. The Department of Water Resources has awarded $187 million for 103 projects throughout the state to enhance groundwater monitoring, water use efficiency, groundwater recharge, recycled water, and water quality. More than $160 million will directly benefit tribes and underrepresented communities. For a full listing of the projects, go to water.ca.gov. And the California Department of Food and Agriculture has announced the award of more than $106 million in grants to 23 organizations to work with producers to design and implement carbon sequestration and irrigation efficiency projects. More information on those projects can be found on the California Department of Food and Agriculture website. The state of California has filed a lawsuit against the world's largest oil and gas companies for allegedly lying about climate change and wreaking havoc on the planet, according to a recent press release. The governor accused ExxonMobil, Shell, Chevron, ConocoPhillips, BP, and the American Petroleum Institute of decades of deception, claiming that companies have intentionally surpassed the dangers of the fossil fuels they produce to protect their profits. Newsom's press release linked fossil fuel consumption to rising global temperatures and damage to air, land, and water. A startup named Plenty is pioneering a new way to grow leafy greens inside a high-tech indoor farm run almost entirely by robots. The vegetables are grown without sun, soil, or even human hands touching the plants. It is an automated process that starts with seeds being robotically planted and moved into a giant 8-story nursery room to germinate. The rooms are lit by LEDs and optimized for each specific crop. Once these seedlings are mature enough, they are transplanted by more robots into vertical frames that are then placed by more robots into a giant vertical growing room. Since no pesticides are used and no human contact is used during the growing process, the vegetables are extra clean and safe to eat right out of the bag with no washing required, according to Plenty. Plenty's indoor robotic farm uses a fraction of the water that traditional agriculture requires and can grow greens year-round, according to the company. As for the price of their products, it's on par with organic greens. You can find Plenty on the shelves of Whole Foods and Gelson's. And speaking of robotics, Houston-based marine robotics company Ocean Infinity has been awarded a survey contract by Equinor Wind U.S. for one of the first ever floating offshore wind farms on the U.S. West Coast. Under the deal, Ocean Infinity will carry out a comprehensive site investigation survey using multiple autonomous underwater vehicles starting in February of 2024. Last year, Equinor secured a 2-gigawatt lease on the Morro Bay area that has the potential to generate enough energy to power 750,000 homes in California.
Smart growers know sustainability means managing pests at the same time they manage other priorities in their fields, which is why smart growers know Certis Biologicals. For more than 20 years, Certis Biologicals has been the world's leader when it comes to biological pesticides, delivering proven solutions that keep operations sustainable and growing. Learn more at CertisBio.com.
As autonomy and artificial intelligence continue to develop in the agriculture technology sector, new pathways to utilizing autonomy need to be realized in order to take full advantage. That's what Agtonomy co-founder Tim Bucher is trying to do, and he's in a unique position to do so as a lifelong farmer and trained software engineer. He's come to understand many of the pain points in developing and using ag tech, giving him the ability to find and create solutions for farmers in quicker fashion. Bucher shared experiences that led him into the world of ag automation.
Having my own farming business, I was able to, you know, see the books for decades, right? And expenses were, you know, growing and going up and up and up. And the revenue and the profits weren't tracking the same. And so it's a trend that I saw many, many years ago. And you can ask anyone in agriculture, you know, are profits growing or shrinking? And they will all say shrinking due to many, many factors, whether that's climate change. You know, you mentioned labor scarcity, even regulations, right? In California, we used to not have to pay overtime in farming, you know, until you hit 12 hours and it went to 10 hours. Now it's at 8 hours. And, you know, farming is not a 9-to-5 kind of job. There's weather windows and other things that come in. So, you know, when I had the insights that I had, I said, well, wait a minute now, where, you know, I've automated all kinds of things on my farm, whether it's, you know, I have a water reclamation center that's all computer controlled. I have, you know, all kinds of things that I've automated in my wine cellars. But the one area, which is the biggest expense in specialty crops. So those are your fruit and nut trees, you know, it's not the row crops, the big ag kind of things. It's more the, you know, the crops that don't rotate every year. Some of them are around for thousands of years even. So I grow olives and I grow grapes and I do olive oil and I make wine. And when I looked at the books, you know, the biggest percentage of the labor of the expenses was labor. And of that, it was pre and post harvest. So when you think about specialty crops, there's a lot of work that's done before harvest. A lot of people think, oh, we need automation for harvesting. And the reality is that's a relatively small window, right? The growing season starts for these crops in, you know, like some years, February. This year, it was a little bit later because we had a big winter. So if your growing season starts then and you harvest in, say, end of September, we're about to hit harvest in grapes, and you harvest olives, you know, at the end of October, beginning of November, you can see that that's a pretty big window and you're doing a lot of things during that time, whereas harvest is maybe only a 1 month window. So, you know, I realized that about 80% of the labor costs were pre and post harvest. And I said, there's so many tasks there that can be automated. And that's how I started to, you know, pursue solutions that ultimately became Agtonomy.
This perspective, one that looks at pre- and post-harvest windows, as much as harvest itself, is a newer pathway that's becoming more and more common amongst automation companies in agriculture, Bucher said.
And it's not just about the harvesting that is secondary to getting sort of the work done in specialty crops. It's also data. Like a lot of people think, oh, it's about data. And if you ask any farmer, you know, would you like data? They'll go, no, I don't really, I can't even get the work done. So, you know, tell me stuff about data after we get the basic jobs done, and then we'll do some optimization with data. So I think a lot of ag tech companies today may be focusing too much on data and maybe focusing too much on harvest windows. But, you know, we're going to need all of it eventually. I just think that there is a bigger, you know, task upon us as an agricultural society to solve with, you know, some of the tasks that we've been focused on at Agtonomy.
One other notable trend Bucher shared is working with established machinery brands that growers already trust, leading to a smoother transition into ag autonomy. You're listening to My Ag Life. I'm Taylor Chalstrom.
We're waking up to a new dawn in agriculture. A better way, where farmers stop working the soil and start working with it. At Huma, our carbon-rich, humate-based products improve soil health and fertility, deliver nutrients more efficiently, and reduce crop input costs. Welcome to Humic Solutions with a human touch. Visit huma.us to learn more.
The Department of Agriculture has announced a call for nominations to the Advisory Committee on Beginning Farmers and Ranchers. Members of the public are invited to submit nominations for themselves or other qualified experts by October 10th. The Ag Secretary may appoint up to 20 members to the committee. Find the nomination requirements and information at the USDA.gov website. President and CEO of the Fertilizer Institute, Corey Rosenbusch, explains they are working to ensure that phosphate and potash are put on a critical minerals list as per legislation introduced in July in both the House and the Senate that would put both on the Department of Interior's final list.
It is a hot topic, but I think when we went through the market volatility that we saw over the last 2 years And we were exposed as an industry to a lot of geopolitical events. So, for example, in the potash world, you have Belarus and Russia who supply or produce about half, almost half of the world's potash supply. You suddenly start to see vulnerabilities. And it had an impact here on you know, what the farmer is paying, you know, for their crop nutrients. So the focus really was on how do we really build a domestic supply? Are there opportunities to ensure resiliency? And one of the topics that came forward, or one of the solutions, I should say, that came forward was to ensure that our domestic potash and phosphate reserves are accessible and that they can be mined in a way that will allow for additional supply to the U.S. farmer.
Building a resilient domestic supply, critical for domestic food security, plus it creates a streamlined process for the manufacturers to obtain permits in order to keep a supply readily available for farmers in the U.S., according to Rosenbusch. Trade Representative Catherine Tai will deliver a speech on the World Trade Organization and participate in a fireside chat on Friday at the Center for Strategic and International Studies in Washington, D.C. Tai will also participate in a fireside chat with the WTO Director General. In her speech, Ambassador Tai will underscore the importance of reform at the World Trade Organization to make it a more effective, responsive, and inclusive forum for solving today's global challenges. She will also highlight areas of reform that are a priority to the United States and how the United States is engaging with other WTO members to advance these priorities. The Center for Strategic and International Studies is a bipartisan nonprofit policy research organization dedicated to advancing practical ideas to address the world's greatest challenges. The organization is self-described as one of the world's preeminent public policy institutions on foreign policy and national security issues. When it comes to cotton crop ratings, they continue to worsen. USA Ag News reporter Gary Crawford has the story.
For the U.S. cotton crop,
like so many other crops this year, kind of a disappointing finish to the season, especially across the southern Great Plains.
USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey says the condition rating for cotton took another dip this past week.
Not a significant dip. We're actually the same in the good to excellent category at 29%, but we did see a rise in the very poor to poor rating to 43%, up from 41% last week, and that places this year's crop pretty squarely within the realm of where we saw last year, which was not a good year for cotton.
And he says that statement's definitely true, probably an understatement for this year in some of the major cotton growing areas.
We continue to see those very poor conditions, the abysmal conditions in Texas and Oklahoma. Oklahoma leads 70%, very poor to poor, closely followed by Texas at 65.
And the heat and drought taking a toll in Louisiana. 25% of that state's cotton rated poor to very poor. Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
The Soil Health Institute and Cargill recently partnered to implement regenerative agriculture practices through water stewardship within agricultural supply chains. The three-year, $3 million partnership will equip farmers, conservation planners, and sustainability experts across North America with tools to enhance drought resilience, improve soil health, and encourage sustainable water use. Soil Health Institute President and CEO Wayne Honeycutt says that they are expediting adoption of regenerative systems by offering stakeholders practical insights to assess improvements in water storage and availability resulting from changes in on-farm practices. Research has demonstrated that increases in available water holding capacity associated with soil organic carbon gains from soil health practice implementation can lead to twice as much water storage in a topsoil compared to previous estimates. The partnership will enable farmers, businesses, researchers, governments, and other sustainability experts to assess their progress towards water stewardship objectives and build industry convergence around the value of soil health in enhancing drought resilience and sustainable water management. Operation Lifesaver this week is promoting Rail Safety Week. The annual week-long event concentrates public attention on the need for rail safety education and saves lives by educating and empowering the public to make safe decisions around tracks and trains. Operation Lifesaver's national office and state Operation Lifesaver programs across the U.S. will connect with their communities through in-person and online events, sharing rail safety messages and urging the public to get involved. Every year, 2,100 North Americans are killed killed or seriously injured when they engage in unsafe behavior around tracks and trains. In the U.S. alone, a person or vehicle can be hit by a train every 3 hours. Operation Lifesaver Executive Director Rachel Mollet says everyone can help make their community safer. The organization is partnering with Operation Lifesaver Canada and the Association of Mexican Railroads to promote the week across North America.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcasts, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
That will wrap up today's show. You've been listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Lori Boyer. From all of us here at the JCS Marketing Team, thank you for listening.